Hey there, I'm Lauren, and you're listening to the Podcast Manager Show, a podcast for podcast managers. Each week, we cover the technical and tactical aspects of running a profitable podcast manager business. With over 90,000 new shows starting each month, podcast managers are in demand. I mean, in demand. And I'm here to help you land your dream clients while reaching your monthly income goals and without working like crazy. Are you ready? Let's get to today's episode. Welcome to the very first episode of the Podcast Manager Show. I am so pumped to be here to tell you guys all about what this podcast is going to be about, who it's for, what you can expect each week, and who I am, and why you can trust me to deliver some awesome, awesome information for you as a podcast manager or potential podcast manager. So let's jump in. Although podcasts have been around for over a decade, they really didn't start to pick up speed until the podcast serial came around, that podcasts really started to become popular and people started to start listening to them. And since then, podcasts have just been on the up and up trajectory. In fact, in April of 2020, there were 90,000 new shows started. And then in May, there were 95,000 new shows. That is insane. When you think about that, like, my mind is just blown. But the interesting thing is that while there are a ton of new shows being started, this field of podcast management is still very unsaturated. And some podcasters don't even know that you can actually have someone help you with all of the pieces of your podcast. So for us podcast lovers and junkies, it is like a dream to work behind the scenes of a podcast. I mean, it's so freaking cool to be part of someone else's vision and message that they need to put out there. And so my goal with this show and my goal with my entire business is to help people like you help podcasters. So I'm going to be helping you each week become a podcast manager if you aren't already. And if you are a podcast editor or you know how to edit audio, then to help you create a podcast management business out of that. Or if you're a virtual assistant, then how to niche down into podcast management so that you can have a service that is really consistent, it's something that you love doing, and so that you can ultimately reach your monthly income goals of $3,000 a month and beyond. So first off, I want to tell you a little bit about how I got started in doing anything podcast related. I have absolutely no background in audio, in editing, anything like that. In fact, I graduated from college in 2012 with a neurobiology and physiology degree. Yeah. When I was a sophomore, junior, I thought I was going to go to grad school for neurobiology and do something super awesome and cool. That was literally my plan. But at that same time, I was working as a fitness instructor for my university, you know, just teaching classes at the university. And I absolutely, absolutely loved fitness. And I was following a fitness guru who's also a business guru, and her name's Shalene Johnson. You should totally look her up if you don't already know who she is. Like I said, she talks a lot about fitness and nutrition, but she's also big on marketing. So I was listening to all of her marketing things. I was doing her workouts. I was just obsessed. And it was my summer after junior year. I was working in my research lab as an undergrad over the summer, but I was also reading this personal development book by Brian Tracy, who I'd found through Shalene Johnson. So I was totally into all of this personal development stuff because of Shalene Johnson. And I was reading this personal development book all about setting goals. And it was walking you through a bunch of different questions. It was trying to identify what you should be doing with your life, basically. And one of the questions was, what's the topic that you want to talk to people about at parties? What's the topic that you want to read more about in your spare time? What's the topic that you can get lost in? And I had an epiphany right then and there when I was reading that book that I did not want to pursue a job in neuroscience. I wanted to work in fitness. And that was my summer before my senior year of college. And I thought, well, shoot, now what do I do? Because I don't really want to do this anymore, but I need to graduate. So I thought about changing my major. I thought about going to keep going for, you know, 5 years, maybe 6 years of college. But I decided, you know what, I'm going to finish my degree and I'm going to try to kind of spin this into a career in fitness. And it's beautiful, I think, how you can just pivot into a new thing. So I graduated with my neurobiology degree and I got an internship in fitness at MIT in Boston. It was an amazing opportunity. I moved to Boston, I worked in the fitness center as an intern, and I got into a fitness MLM. Because, you know, I'd been reading all this personal development, I was kind of interested in this like entrepreneurship idea. It was when MLMs were really starting, and I thought, oh, this is really cool. Like, it's fitness, it's running my own business, it's freedom, and I thought it was going to be the perfect match. Well, it lasted for a couple of months. It was a fun ride. And what I learned was, okay, I really like the idea of working for myself. Because the thing was that I loved fitness, but really what I wanted was a flexible job that would allow me to work and use that part of me, but also allow me to be at home with my kids later down the road. So I was 22, 23, but I knew that when I had kids, I wanted to be home with them. And I had no clue what that would look like. I had no clue what that meant, but I was really hesitant on exploring a career path that I knew would put me into a 9-to-5. So that was always on my mind. So I was in Boston. I ended up moving to Chicago to live with my boyfriend, which we got engaged around that same period of time. So moved to Chicago. I had quit the MLM, didn't know what I was going to do. Ended up working at a chiropractic office because he looked at me and thought, oh, she has a neurobiology degree. Oh, she's into fitness. This is perfect for chiropractic, which it was. That was another pivot. And all this time, I was trying to figure out a way of starting my own business. And I thought it was going to be a fitness business. And I thought, you know what, I could make videos and sell them online. I could start some sort of coaching business. But this is back in 2013, and this wasn't as common. And honestly, I could tell you a lot of reasons why it didn't work, but when it comes down to it, it just wasn't the right time for me. I'm a God girl, and I just feel like I wasn't ready for a business yet. You know, I was too immature, whatever it was, God knew what was going on in my head, and I just wasn't ready. And so it just wasn't working out. I had actually been vegan for the past couple of years. I was vegan for 4 years. So during this time, I was vegan. And I even tried to make like a meal plan guide with videos and all of this stuff for vegans. And no one read it. No one read it. And I'm going to go into more of this later in the show. But I was really focused on what do I have to offer? And you might be thinking that because you might be in the position of, I want to make some money online because I don't want to work in a 9-to-5, or I want to be home with my kids, or I want more flexibility, but how can I make money online? Or how can I make money as a freelancer? And you might be thinking, what do I have to offer? And I think that there's nothing wrong with that way of thinking, but we're taught that, especially in the online space, that we all have something really unique to offer. And I think that's true, but what you think you have to offer might not be something that people want. I don't say that to be mean. I say that because I literally have been here. I have created a meal plan for vegans that no one wanted. So when you're thinking about what you can offer, I want you to really flip that over and think, what is needed? What's needed? And podcasters, they need help. Oh man, they need help. There is a huge need there. And that's why I have found so much success, and my students in the Podcast Manager Program have found so much success, because this is a true need and we can align our own interests and what we're good at to create an awesome business that is super fun but pays the bills. So anyway, I was dabbling in business. I was trying to do something online. Nothing was working, but I knew that eventually would work. Like, call me crazy, whatever, but I just knew that eventually something would work because I just knew that this was for me. So I was working at this chiropractic office and my husband and I decided that we were going to move to Indianapolis. That was where my family was living. He was raised in Indianapolis. I grew up some in Indiana. I grew up some in Florida, but my family was all in Indianapolis. So we decided his job would allow him to transfer. I was still unsure of what the heck was going on in my life. So I was totally flexible to moving. So we left Chicago. We moved to Indianapolis. I ended up getting a job at Angie's List. I'm not sure if you guys know what that is because it's now become another business, but it was a resource that you could use to hire like handymen, construction, all sorts of like electricians, like that kind of thing. So I worked in a call center. There weren't any available fitness jobs. And I was in a point, we were about to get married, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to get a 9-to-5. I'm going to do my own thing on the side. I'm going to try to get some sort of business going, but I'm just going to clock in those hours and get paid. Well, one of the things about working at Angie's List in that call center was that not only did I not have control over my time, and I was literally like when I would clock in, I had to be on the phone for like 99% of my working hours. Like even if you went to the bathroom, you were literally clocked on how long you were gone from your desk because of this nature of this call center. And there was a sales element to it. And so the top 3-5%, I can't remember, were rewarded at the end of the quarter based on your sales records. And so I'm an Enneagram 7, so I can like really focus on something and really go all in on it, but I lose focus. I have like shiny object syndrome times 10. So the first quarter that I worked for this call center, I went 100% in. I got into that top 5%, made some good money before my husband and I got married, but then I had no motivation after that, like no motivation at all. And I thought like, how can I push myself? How can I? And the thing was that in that environment, there was just one goal. You know, like there was no way for me to like pivot my interests. There was no flexibility in that way. And I knew that that was another reason why owning my own business, I'd be able to focus on the success of my business, but then be able to pivot so that things weren't always the same. Okay, so by this time, it's 2015. And I'm telling my husband, you know what? I cannot motivate myself in this job anymore. I need to get a new job. And honestly, like telling you guys this story, like makes me feel self-conscious because I'm like, oh my gosh, Lauren, how many jobs did you have? Like, goodness. But whatever. So I worked at Angie's List for a year and I thought, you know what? I want to work full-time in fitness again. So I got a job as a fitness and wellness specialist in the corporate setting. This was a pretty cool job. What it looked like was I worked in the fitness center of a corporation. So one of them was a pharmaceutical company. The other one was like kind of like a tech engineering company, and they both had gyms at their campuses. So on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I would go to one of them. And then on Tuesday, Thursday, I would go to the other one. But I was pretty much my own boss. Like my real bosses, I never saw them because I was the only person at these businesses. And there was so much flexibility. But there was not enough work. Like there was probably 10 hours of work and I was working 40 hours a week. I was so bored. So it was 2015. I got pregnant with our first daughter and I knew, like I said earlier, that I always wanted to stay home with my kids. So I knew right away, this job is entirely too boring. There's no way that I'm sitting at this desk while my daughter is being taken care of by someone else, so that I can just sit here and be super bored, even if it's kind of ideal because it's in fitness and there's a ton of flexibility. It's just not worth it to me. And I'm going to start my own business and it's going to work out at some point, was the thought in my head. And my husband knew that this was my plan, that I wanted to work 100%, but it was going to be in an unconventional way. So 2016 rolls around and I have my first daughter. I work in this fitness shop until I have her. And I thought, you know what? Once I have her, I'll let a couple months go by and then I'll just become a fitness instructor part-time, work evenings, work mornings around my husband's schedule. So then I can make a little bit of money, help support my family, but I can also be home during those daytime hours to be with my daughter. And I did that for a while. At the same time, a friend and I decided that we were going to start a fitness podcast. We'd been listening to podcasts for a couple of years and we just loved them. And we loved Shalene Johnson still. She's still in the picture. And she had a podcast and we thought, you know what? My friend was about to become a registered dietitian and I was a mom who was a fitness instructor. And we were going to talk about nutrition and fitness. So in December of 2016, we started that podcast and it is called Fit Friends Happy Hour. I was on it until January of 2019. And she now is the sole host of that show. I was still, of course, looking for a way to work at home. And we started this podcast and we thought, hey, maybe this will go somewhere. Maybe it won't. Let's just do it. She would come over every Tuesday night. We would record episodes. It was such a good time because I was able to do it when my daughter was sleeping. And I was able also to just spend time with my friend talking about something we loved, fitness and nutrition. I can't remember how we decided this, but we decided that I was going to be the one to edit the show and do more of the technical parts of it. I think we had a plan of both of us doing it, but as soon as I started doing this, I loved it. And if you're wondering how I learned how to edit, it was 100% YouTube videos and just messing around in Audacity. So when people ask me, like, can I just DIY this? Do I have to buy your program? I'm like, no, you don't. Because that's what I did. I DIY'd myself because there was no program like this back in 2016 when I was learning how to do this. So as I started producing that show, I realized how much I loved it. And I thought, you know what? I bet I could try to do this online for other podcasters. I was completely unaware of the virtual assistant world. I knew that virtual assistants existed, but I thought they were just in the Philippines and that they were making $3 an hour. So I didn't relate to that. And so I didn't look into if there was more virtual assistants out there. I had heard of Upwork. So I got on Upwork and I looked for podcasters that I could edit for. I ended up landing this client after months and writing so many offers or whatever they call them on there of trying to get clients. I finally landed this client and she has a pretty awesome podcast. I'm actually surprised that it was my first client, but, and I'm not going to tell you who it was, because she was paying me $30 an episode, which is so low because they were all interviews and they were taking me 5 hours to do because her audio was so terrible and I had no idea how to coach her into having better audio. I was just intimidated by working with her in general that I was giving her no advice. She didn't know that I had my own show, nothing like that. So after editing for her for about 2 months, I thought, Lauren, there's absolutely no way that you can keep doing this. Like, I was literally making like $2 an hour and I was just wasting my time basically. So I thought, I was wrong. This isn't going to work. This just isn't going to be worth it. So that was around May of 2017. Okay, well, fast forward a couple months, I got pregnant with our second daughter and my husband and I went to a wedding. There was a girl at the wedding. She was actually the sister-in-law of the groom. And the girl had a little daughter and a son, and we were about to have our second child, and my husband was like, hey, let's go over and talk to her, because she has two kids, and we have two kids. So we go over to her. I'm pregnant, you know, at a wedding, having as much fun as I possibly could, and my husband's like, hey, we have two kids, and, like, they're, like, close to the same age, blah, 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 and I don't actually remember the conversation at all. All I remember is I met this girl, and then I can't remember if we became friends on Facebook right then, but she started popping up on my Facebook. And her name is Michaela Quinn. She teaches moms how to start freelance businesses. So she started popping up on my Facebook and I'm like, wait a second, this is that girl from the wedding. And she's teaching people how to work online. Like, that's exactly what I want to do. So I started following her and I ended up buying her course. And I knew how to podcast edit, but I didn't actually even think I should do that skill because I thought I'm never going to get paid enough. Like, it's too time consuming. It's just not a service that makes sense. So I started as a virtual assistant. I was doing graphics because I was doing some admin stuff. And then one of my clients who I was her virtual assistant, and I was doing all sorts of stuff for her, like updating website and all this stuff. And she said, hey, I heard that you have some experience in podcast editing and I'm about to start a podcast. Do you think you could help me with it? And I was like, oh, 100%. She didn't want me to edit. She wanted to do that part, but she wanted me to do all of the other pieces. So she wanted me to schedule it. She wanted me to write the description. She wanted me to do show notes. She wanted me to create graphics. And she let me have so much freedom in that. She just did not care. Like, just do whatever you think sounds good. And that was the stepping stone for me of pairing my experience as a virtual assistant. And when I say experience, I had like 2 months of experience with my knowledge of being a podcast editor. And at this time, I was still running my own show, but I wasn't really telling my clients that because I didn't want them to get confused on, like, okay, is this girl a virtual assistant or is she a podcaster? So a couple months later, Michaela Quinn started a podcast and she said, hey, I know you're doing podcast stuff for that client and I know you have your own show. Would you want to help me with mine? And I was like, yeah. And by the way, since, you know, you're my coach, I'm in your course, do you think it's actually a service I should niche down into? She was like, yeah, I mean, it makes total sense. do some research, and I really think you should niche down into it. So I did some research. I asked podcasters like, hey, is this something that you would hire someone for? And I couldn't believe the response. People are like, why aren't there more podcast managers out there? And I was like, wow, I'm really onto something. So I launched my second podcast, which was Michaela Quinn's, and that was when I 100% niched down into podcast management. So by January of 2019, I had 7 clients and I was making more than $3,000 a month, working 20 hours a week. I couldn't believe that this was happening. I was like, wow, I have this business that I love. Like, I've been wanting this since 2012 and it's 2019 and it's finally happening, but I can't take on any more clients. 7 was too many to begin with. I ended up getting rid of 1 and 6 was still a little much for that 20 hour a week cap that I had because I had 2 young daughters. I wanted to still work only evenings, on the weekends some, and I wanted to be with my girls during the day. So around this time, other women in Michaela Quinn's group were asking me about podcast editing, asking me about podcast management and saying like, how did you get into this? I would love, love, love to do this. Do you think you could teach me how to do this? And I was like, oh, I could obviously make a course, but I really didn't want to do that because of all of these past failures of me creating ebooks and me creating all of these quote unquote passive products that nobody wanted. And I was like, you know what? I love being a service provider. I love just telling someone, hey, I'll do X, Y, and Z for you. And they say, okay, awesome. I'll pay you. You know, I just loved the simplicity of a service-based business. And I thought, I don't want to get into the passive world. Like it just feels so much more complicated. And it feels like you just make something and no one buys it because that was my experience. But there was a group of women that said, hey, if you create a course, we would take it. We would love it. Please do it. So I was like, okay, fine. I'm going to whip together a course for $50, and it's gonna be as low key as possible. And that's what I did in January of 2019. I had no extra hours. I was literally staying up after midnight to record these videos for the course. And so, oh gosh, I wish I still had them. I've updated them since, but I just saw it as kind of helping these women who I'd kind of been networking friends with so that they could be podcast managers as well. Well, since then, it has been an freaking awesome ride. We now have over 100 students in the podcast manager program, and I love, love, love helping freelancers become profitable podcast managers. And also, I love helping podcasters. I love helping the podcast industry because podcast managers, they kind of make the world go round. Podcasters just can't do all the work that's behind producing a podcast between finding guests, booking guests, thinking about topics that are relevant, editing, scheduling, writing descriptions for the shows, show notes, social media graphics, audiograms. There's just so many pieces to a podcast that a podcaster either doesn't want to do or they're just not great at every single piece of it. One thing that I want you to know is that I'm not perfect and I've been able to create this incredible business and so can you. I still have not taken any professional training or anything like that on podcast editing. And what I've actually found through my clients, podcasters that I've spoken with, and through the podcasters that my students have helped is that many podcasters are not looking for excellent editing. They're not looking for someone who went to school for editing. They're looking for someone to come onto their team to take the podcast and take some of that burden off of their plate, manage all of the pieces, hold them accountable to put out a show every single week. The editing doesn't have to be the best editing in the entire world, but they want a great product at the end of the day. And as podcast managers, we can come in, edit the show, create graphics to promote it to their listeners, and just put the entire package together. I talk more about what podcasters are actually looking for in my masterclass. So if you haven't watched this, it's a masterclass where I teach you how to become a profitable podcast manager without working more than 20 hours a week. Go check that out at laurenwrighton.com/masterclass, because in that I share what podcasters are actually looking for so that you can craft a portfolio and a business around what they're actually looking for. And one of those things is not professional editing. Okay, so let's talk about what you can expect from the show each week. So every Tuesday, I'm going to be putting out solo episodes with me talking about podcast management or interviews that are going to help you to start and grow your podcast manager business. On Fridays, you're going to get a really quick 5-minute episode. It's going to be a short tip to help you start or grow your podcast management business. Okay, so from Boston to Chicago to Indianapolis, through all the jobs I've had, I'm now here in 2020. I have 3 girls working as a podcast manager / producer / strategist and also teaching you how to become a podcast manager as well. I have to tell you, it's so fun. It's so fun. And if you are a podcast junkie who loves a good challenge, this could totally be up your alley. Okay, if I'm spending pretty much this whole episode telling you all about me, I really want to know all about you as well. So head over to the Facebook group. It's the Podcast Manager Mastermind. You can search that on Facebook, but the link will also be in the show notes. And find me on Instagram, DM me that you listened to this episode, and tell me a little bit about you, because I want to know where you're from, what your background is in, if you're using your degree or not like me. I really want to know about you. So find me on Instagram. I'm at Lauren Wrighton, and I would love to chat with you over there. Thanks so much for listening to this first episode of the show, and I can't wait to talk to you in the next one. Thanks so much for hanging out with me today. Come connect with me over on Instagram at Lauren Wrighton or in the Podcast Manager Mastermind on Facebook, and let me know what you liked about this episode. You can always find the links and resources mentioned in this show over at laurenwrighton.com. Until next time, I'll be cheering you on.